think this is going to be the last Harchakos year. Maybe tomorrow we'll just do Parsha or something. Because at 11 o'clock I already agreed to do a Q&A with JSS tomorrow in this room. So, you want to come? Okay, I guess. I don't know. I wonder what kind of questions. I don't know. Okay, so let's get started. So there are still two more food-related harchakos to discuss, and then we'll get into the bedroom harchakos. So the two dining room-related harchakos to discuss is an offshoot of mezikas hakos, and that is serving food. So we started to discuss that a little bit. We'll discuss that a little more. And the other is shiluach kos shel bracha, to be mshaleach kos shel yayin, to send her a kos shel yayin. So let's start with serving food. So the Bach writes, and the Shach quotes it in its entirety over here, that the Bach writes, Matzasi kosov bedroshos ma'arash ostreich, v'zeloshono. That the Marash Ostreich, quoted by the Bach, says that it's not proper for women to be bringing plates to the table because it's just like Mezikas HaKos, and it's also to serve a drink, so it's also to bring plates to the table as well. So says the Bach, I got three reasons why it's mutter. Number one, Mi'ul l'fima shekasafti b'shem ra'im de mezika b'lo shato, shato b'lo mezika mutter afila b'lo shinoi, hachinam b'kara de l'laka lo shato shari. If you assume like the Sheet and Rishonim that Mezika Sakos is only Aser if it's both a Mezika and a Hoshata, meaning that there is no Iser independently of just Hoshata and there's no Iser independently of just Mezika, so then you're for sure not gonna have a problem over here, because over here you don't have a Hoshata, you just have the equivalent of a Mezika, so that's not gonna be a problem. Now, that's not the strongest argument, because we don't accept that Sheet and Rishonim. We assume that Oshata is Asur without Mezika, and Mezika is Asur without Oshata. Okay, so the second argument. V'chein l'mashkas v'rashmet the Mezika is Yayin b'mayim davka Asur. Avol shar mashke mutter. Inami Mezika minakli, k'moshanu osim shari, hu adin bekara in k'peda. Those were two and three. Second argument was, based on what the Rashba says, that Mezika's Yayin b'mayim is the only thing that's Asur. But any other mashkim is going to be mutter. So again, we don't normally assume that way. We assume Mezika is going to be Asur even with Shar Mashkim. And then he says, Inami Mezika min akli k'moshon osim shari, hu adin bekara in k'peda. That Mezika min hakli, like we do it, is going to be mutter, because it's not a dilution of the wine, it's just pouring from one kli to another. So by kara, it's also not going to be a problem. And, you know, we don't seem to assume like any of those stodim lohakel. But then he writes, that the whole Isser of Mezikas HaKos is only going to be Aser if she's pouring a kos for him. That's his kos. But if she's pouring, let's say, wine from a wine bottle into, one of those fancy wine decanter things, you know, one of those glass things that are super wide at the bottom, and then, you've seen what I'm talking about. Right? So let's say she's pouring into that. So that's just something that they pass around the table. That's just something that everyone drinks from. That's not a kos that's mamish meant for him. So that wouldn't be a problem. So Hu Adin, if she's bringing a serving plate to the table, so ink pay the klal. Even though the husband might also be eating from that same plate, because that's certainly not an inyan of chiba at all. So he quotes that some were machmir about serving food, but he says if you bring serving plates to the table, there's no makom to be machmir whatsoever. The impression you get from the Bach is that he's not even, doesn't even think you should be machmir if it's a personal plate that's being served to him, but we already discussed, so just do it with the shinoi. When you're serving, just do it with the shinoi, that will solve the problem. The Taz in Sivkat and Gimel is medayek from the fact that it only says Mezikas HaKos, because there's nowhere it talks about serving food. So from the fact that it only says Mezikas HaKos, Taz is medayek that serving food is fine. Why? The Chachamim Shiaru She'ein Kiruv Bazer Rak Maisa Avdus She'ish Bo Toreach. That the Chachamim realize that there's no kiruv, there's no sense of closeness. It's a maisa avdus, as opposed to mezikas hakos, which seems to be much more of a sense of chiba. So that's the chiluk that Taz makes. Shach and Sivkat Nid Gimel is also makel, especially based on the Rashba that mezika is only when you pour water into wine. The Shach and Sivkat on Yudalit says she can prepare his plate somewhere else and then put it in front of him, which that's against the Bach. The Bach holds that if he knows that she prepared it, then it's going to be aser. Meaning that the Shach says if she prepares a plated meal for him, as long as she does it not in front of him, she's then able to bring it to the table. But again, in all these cases, if it's a serving plate, we are makel entirely, obviously, with a serving plate. If it's not a serving plate, it's something that's a miyuchad for him. So we always say it's easy enough to employ a shinoi. So we always recommend employing a shinoi. A very slight shinoi is all that's needed. Left hand or putting it a little bit off to the side next to him. Yeah, Shai.
Would the Bach still say what he says if the only two people at the meal are them? Husband and wife? They have a serving platter, but...
Oh, with the serving probably not. Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Because that's a plate for two. Probably not. Now the final harchaka, shiluach kol shel bracha. So this is a separate harchaka in the mealtime. I have a cousin who wrote a sefer on Hilchos Nida called Ohel Aryeh. It's a very simple, straightforward sefer of just the basic rules. Rav Leibel Katz, zecharno levracha. He was a big posek in Borough Park. My brother got shimush and maros from Rav Leibel. He used to go once a week to Borough Park, and Rav Leibel would bring out like this gigantic garbage bag full of like maros, and he would dump it on the table, and he would say, "I'll be back in an hour." You know, my brother would have sort it out. I'll be back in an hour. So my brother would sort it out, and then he would go through all the things that my brother thought were aser, and he'd be matzah three quarters of them. So that was the ones that my brother was matzah for sure. He was matzah. That's how they went. That's how he got his shimush. But Rav Leibel was a big Talmud Chacham. He died of COVID at the very beginning of COVID, like most of his neighborhood, or much of his neighborhood, sadly. But he published a book in like the 70s called Ohel Aryeh, and it's like a very straightforward, simple book, Hilchos Nida u'Mezuzah. Because he figured everyone getting married needs to know where to put mezuzahs also, so it's Hilchos Nida u'Mezuzah. And it was like the book used by Chassanim for many years, especially in Yeshiva circles. Like they would have Chassan classes, would just be reading the Ohel Aryeh. And in his first edition of Ohel Aryeh, he forgot to include this harchaka. So like there's a whole generation of Chassanim that like just doesn't know about Shiluach Kol Shel Yayin. In the second edition, he included in the Hashmatos in the back. By the way, there's another harchaka of Shiluach Kol Shel Yayin. It's an excellent book, but we got to remember that this is actually a harchaka. So what exactly is this harchaka? So it comes from three different sources, Beis Yosef points out. All of the sources that it comes from relate to a Kol Shel Bracha, not just Stam a Kol Shel Yayin. So Beis Yosef though quotes a Rashba that the ikar problem sending her wine is that Yav Daito Aleha, that he's clearly paying attention to the fact that she wants wine and therefore sending her the wine, which applies to any kos. So even though the sources upon which this harchak is based all relate to a kos shel bracha, it's not really an inyan of kos shel bracha. It's an inyan of kos. So number one, it's a Maseches Kala, Perek Aleph, which says that if somebody shaleach kos shel bracha li'isha without her husband's consent, he's chayiv misa. Meaning if go and send a kol shel bracha to somebody else, to somebody else's wife, without the husband's consent, the person who does that is going to be chayiv misa. Why? What did he do already? He sent a cocktail to someone else's wife. Chayiv misa, because apparently that's an inyan of kiruv das. That's an inyan of showing kiruv, of showing a certain kurva, and therefore we learn from there that a husband shouldn't do that with his wife when she's in nida. The second source is Rav Achaigon in the She'iltos, where he says that Rav was visiting Shmuel's house. Shmuel sent a kol shel bracha to his wife, and she didn't accept it. So the She'iltos has two versions of why she didn't accept it. Either because she was in nida, or because so she wouldn't accept from her husband a kol shel bracha, or because the nida just doesn't drink from a kol shel bracha. But according to that first version, that because she was a nida, she couldn't accept a kos from her husband. So there you see very much, even more directly, not to accept a kol shel bracha from one's husband when she is a nida. And a bracha staf nun aleph, amr abzeir amr b'yavav, amri la, b'masnisa tana asar dvarm nemru b'kol shel bracha. There are 10 things about kol shel bracha, that it's ton hadach, shtifa, chai, malei, right, you go through. all the dinim of koshal bracha. V'yesh omim af mishagro b'matana la'inshi beso. So Gemara says that you should send a koshal bracha to your wife, and we learn from there that that maybe is only when she's not a nida, because it's a sign of korva to dafka send her a koshal bracha. So there is this archaka that you're not allowed to be sholeach la kol shel yayin. The question is, what exactly are the gedarim of this isra to be sholeach la kol shel yayin, not to send her a kol shel yayin? This is in Sif Yud Gimel and Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch writes, k'shem sha'asura limzoglo, kachu asur limzoglo, v'lo od elafil l'shloach la kol shel yayin asur, lo shna kol shel bracha, lo shna kol sacher, and it doesn't really matter if it's kol shel bracha or not, imu miyuchad la. If it's something that's miyucha to her, aval im shosim he may also hakos v'shasi ihi abasrayu leslanba. But if the people that are bringing the kos also drink from the kos, and then she drinks afterwards, then it's not a problem. The prisha in Osir Aleph says he could send her wine after he drinks from it himself, because that makes it no longer miyuchad la. That's how the prisha formulates it. It in Shulchan Aruch doesn't sound like that. It sounds like it's the shluchim that are drinking from it. Because Adarabba, if he drank from it and then he's sending it to her, maybe that even sends more chiba in her direction, because they're sharing it and it's dafka earmarked for her. But the preacher would argue that no, the idea of sholeach l'koshel yayin is saying that I am designated a koshel yayin for you. So you don't have that if he drank from it, because it wasn't designated just for her. He drank from it also. And there's no iser shirei kos shalo. She's allowed to drink his leftovers, just like she's allowed to eat his leftovers. So you avoid all the issues. But from the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch, it sounds much more, avalim shosim heim may osa akos v'shasi ihi abasrayu, right? It sounds like the shluchim, whoever is the one that's bringing it, is the one that's drinking from the kos. In the Tshuvas Divrei Yoel, the Achrona point out, the Tshuvas Divrei Yoel says, or the Satmar Rebbe says, that it's only chiba is when the wife is not in the room and you appoint a special shliach to bring it for her. But if she's in the room, so she could just get it herself, and you just send it in her direction, that's not going to be aser. Minig is not like that. Minig is we assume that to be shaleachla means even if she's in the room the whole time and she could have just as easily gotten it, that's still going to be aser. So Rav Azner has two other kulas. First of all, Rav Azner says, if you're not shaleachla, there's nothing wrong with her getting it. Meaning, like, if you take a drink of yayin and a kol shel bracha, and then you put it down in front of you, she could then take it. So that's often when we discuss shaleach kol shel bracha. So in chassan classes, the chassan's like, wait, what do you do at kiddush? So the simplest eitzah for kiddush is if you're not at opposite ends of the table. It used to be much more the style that a husband and wife would sit at opposite heads of the table. Now you see more the style apparently is that the wife sits right next to the husband. So if he drinks from the kos after he says kiddush, and then he just puts it down in front of him, she can then go and take it. Right? There's nothing. He wasn't shaleichla. He just put it down in front of him. So Rav Azner points out there's nothing wrong with that. Rav Azner also points out that if he just pours a bunch of kosos, you know, you have a little tray with a bunch of little kosos, or you have one of those, you know, things that pours into all the kosos, so then you send it around the table and there's no particular kos that's miyuchad for her, that's also going to be mutter. Because the whole issur is only when you're miyachid a kos specifically for her. I'm not sure if, let's say you're at a restaurant and that your wife enjoys a particular wine and they bring the menu, I'm not sure if you're allowed to order wine for your wife. Right, meaning that might also be shaleach la kos shaliyayin. Right, if you make the order, because then you're asking the waiter to bring wine for your wife. The tzad lahakel, I'm not sure. Tzad lahakel might be that it's not a particular kos that you even saw yet, so it's not really you being shaleach la. Maybe it never started at you in the first place. He's just going to the bar to get it, or going to the back to get it. Yeah.
Sending this tray of little cups around the table, does it have to adopt to go to someone who's not your wife first, or can you just send the tray to her first and she'll pass it around the table?
I would imagine it could just go around the table either way. I don't think so.
Are you ordering a cup for that she, like the wine that she likes, the restaurant, show that you're daidoga?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I think it could be a problem. It could be a problem. Anyone see any discussion about that? About ordering wine at a restaurant? I don't know. Yeah?
Are you saying even if she just told you to order? follows your order for eventually she's getting people deciding that she wants it.
Meaning she went to the bathroom and she said, while I'm gone, if the waiter comes, just order me this wine. I don't know. Do we have a heter like that? That if she says, I'd like a kosher bracha, and then you're shaleach it, that it's okay? I don't know if it makes it okay.
Would it be different if someone orders, or their wife orders for the two of them? Then it's just...
So then you have that discussion of the pre-shift. They're both going to drink from it.
No, I'm saying even if it's two separate cups, can you bring us, you know, the red or whatever?
I don't know. You know what? Put that on the Rabbi Sablovsky list of questions to ask him once we get him back, once he's done covering Rabbi Tablis this year. Okay, we'll have to ask him that.
Would ordering like a bottle to the table? I mean, because then it's not...
That's not a kos. That's a serving plate. That's what we discussed, right? That's for sure okay. That's what the Bach said, that if it's something for the whole table... Oh, you say the whole table is just the two of them. Yeah, all right. Okay, good question. Still, I think the battle for the table is okay. Okay, bedroom archakos. Let's get right to it. So the Gemara in Masech Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel tells us as follows: Yibayilu nida ma'u shetishin and bayla he be bigdav who be bigdav. Can you need to sleep with her husband if they're both fully clothed? Amrav Yosef Tashma ha'of olim magvina l'shulchan. Well, you know, you can have cheese and chicken on the same table. Ve'inu nechal, you just can't eat them together. Divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Amar lo olim lo nechal. No, you can't have cheese and chicken on the same table. So don't you see that you got to be very careful? Says, well, no, shiny awesome, delicadeos. The cheese is not going to remind the chicken not to be eaten, and the chicken is not going to remind the cheese. It's just one person that has cheese and chicken on the same table, so that's a problem. But over here, it's husband and wife, so if they're together in bed and they're both clothed, you can't bring a raya because a husband and wife can remind each other. So that's what the Gemara says. Leka deos, shiny awesome de leka deos. The Gemara then goes on to say, "Va'amarti la baruch hamakom shargo." Meaning, this is in that story of the Torah of the Beil Yosh. Shalom nasapanim la Torah. Well, shareyam la Torah ve'el isha binidas to masolo tikrav. Kias ravdimi amar mita chada havai. That what exactly was she saying? She did that yashani mi bikiruv basar, that they slept in the same bed. Ve'marava amri amar yitzah bar Yosef. Sinar mafsik beino levena, that they had something being mafsik between him and her in the bed. So apparently, Rav Dimi thought the same bed is a problem, right? And Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef thought just having some clothing between them. Oh no, they were arguing about what was mutter. Is that what it was? That Rav Dimi thought the same bed is not such a problem. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef thought just having some clothing between them is enough. So in Tosos and Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel, Tosos mita chadavai upalti ben laya shena atzcherev beino leveina ikal lememer sharochuk mimena haya biyoser. He says, how could Palti ben Laish just rely on a cherev beino leveina? Weren't they in the same mita? So he says, it must have been a gigantic bed. And they left the door open to the Rosh Hashanah, so there's no yichud. Or maybe he really paskened like Shaul against David, and he held that she wasn't in Eishes Ish, and therefore was mutter. I mean, Tosfos is assuming the same issue that you're going to have by Nida is the same issue you're going to have by an Eishes Ish, and therefore to be in Mita Achas is going to be a problem. But Tosfos says maybe if it's Mita Achas and it's a very large bed and you have a heker in between them, then maybe it's going to be mutter. So that, you know, leads us to the discussion Rishonim of what exactly is required over here. Can you have one very large bed? If you have, do you need two separate beds? Do the two separate beds need to be apart from each other? So the Tshuvas Tashbetz writes that the Chama only asked Mita Achas if the bed is made for one person. Meaning like Shita Satosos, if it's a king-sized bed, then it's not going to be a problem. Because it's meant for two people. So if it's meant for two people, then it doesn't show that sense of chiba. That would be difficult to say bizmanenu anyway. We don't pass on that anyway, but it would be difficult to say bizmanenu because the whole svara is that any two people could share such a bed. But it's very rare for any two people to share any bed other than a husband and wife bizmanenu, and therefore it would be very hard to say such a thing, even though enochinami, a king-sized bed, is meant for more than one person. But it's just very rare that more than one person would end up sleeping on a single bed. The Mordechai in Shabbos says that even if there are two separate beds, you still need a hefsek between them. We just separate the Bez Mordechai. Sounds like you need something more than just separating the Bez Mordechai. Sounds like you need to have like a piece of furniture or something in between the beds. Similar to what Rav Shachta told me when I first got married. I asked Rav Shachta how far apart the beds should be from each other. He said, I thought all religious couples have a night table between their beds. And I was like, that is not my impression. I don't think that's what all religious couples do. But that comment is based on the Mordechai. The Mordechai sounds like there's supposed to be something in between the beds. So it's unclear what exactly the concern is. Whether the concern is that it looks like one bed if you have two beds that are right next to each other, or that it'll just lead to tashmish, because it's just the access is too easy. You can just roll over right onto the other person's bed. Nafkamina would be how far apart the beds have to be. Right, if it's that it looks like one bed, so as long as it's recognizable, as long as the difference is recognizable, and you can see that it's clearly two beds, and it's going to be mutter. But if it's a concern that you're going to roll over, so then it should be far enough apart that if you roll, you'll fall. Right, that if you roll over from one bed to the other, you'll fall in between, which is probably a little bit further. So the Rama writes in Sivvav, Rama writes. Shulchan says, can't sleep in the same bed even if they're both fully clothed and they're not touching each other. Says Ramav, even if each one has their own mattress and they're in two separate beds entirely, but the beds are touching each other, that's enough to make it aser. The Pischei Tshuva says, okay, so how far apart do they have to be? So the Pischei Tshuva writes, Hefresh kol shehu mutter. That as long as you have any space, any daylight between them, that's going to be enough to be mutter. A hefresh kol shehu is going to be mutter. So the Kava Yashar in Perek Yud Zayin tells a maisa that a man had a dream that his feet were covered in excrement, and he asked the Arizal what the dream meant, and the Arizal said that his bed was too close to his wife's bed, and he touches her blanket during the night, and that's why his feet are covered in excrement in the dream. So, okay, it's to highlight the idea that one should be very careful about this. In the Taras, meaning particularly the Lashon of the Arizal, and the Lashon of the Kava Yashar, is that he touches her, through the night, he touches her blanket. So there are some that are makbid, that when you separate the beds, separate them far enough apart that the blankets won't touch each other. Meaning that her blanket won't touch your bed, your blanket won't touch her bed. Because when the Rama says that your beds shouldn't touch each other, he means your bedding shouldn't touch each other. That even anything that goes on your bed, your blankets, your pillows, shouldn't touch each other either. So to be far enough apart that they shouldn't touch each other. So again, Pischei Tshuva says, Hefresh kol shehu. You have the Mordechai's mashma that you need furniture between the beds, and then you have the Kava Yashar, which from the Arizal, which seems to assume that the bedding shouldn't touch each other. There is an interesting discussion in Poskim about bunk beds. I don't know what context that would come up per se, but let's say you're staying at someone's house and like, yeah, sure, we have two beds in the room. I guess Shabbat Chevron? I don't know where it would come up, but you'd end up in bunk beds. Yeah, I don't know. Do women go to Shabbat Chevron? Yeah, women do go. So I'm sure like there's some bunk beds would probably be a bracha already for most of the people. So the Pischei Tshuva and Sifkat Niral quotes a Makar Chayit that Dafka im ragle hamitos nogim zubazu aser. Meaning if they're lying down right next to each other, he says, let's say you have two beds that are not side by side, they're one back, one in front, and even though the beds are touching each other, it's not like they can't be looking at it. They open their eyes, they just see the wall, they won't see each other. So he thinks the kolshkin rosh amita barosh chaverta sheinichal niroze panim shalzu mutter. If they can't look at each other in the face, then it's going to be mutter. El demichal makamol nogim kustimus rosh haramad b'chalin shnogim zebze aser. But b'chalinian we try to be machmir for the ramad. They shouldn't touch each other at all. Rabbi Forst is machmir on bunk beds for that reason. But the Shulchan's not sure. He's not sure if you should be machmir on a bunk bed. Again, I don't know how common that is. What about a canopy bed? So the meaning, you ever see, like there's a like a chuppah over the bed. So the Gemara in Erev and Daf Samach Gimel says, we quoted this Gemara already earlier, that Amar Brona Amar Rav Kalei Yashin Bekilushi Ishvi Ishto Shruyin Ba Alava Kasvomer Neshei Ami Tegrushumri Beis Tanugeha Vam Rav Yosef Afilu Bi Ishto Nida Rava Amar Imishto Nida Yitamal Bracha. Right, we had this discussion that is it a good thing for you to sleep in a room where a husband and wife are sleeping? So he said, if ishto nida, it's a machlokas. If she's not a nida, then for sure it's not a good thing. But if she's a nida, then it might be a good thing because you're going to take away any taiva that they might have. And others say that no, you're not taking away any taiva. You have to. They don't. We trust them. Sugu b'shashanim. They don't need someone in the room to avoid an isur yichud. So Rashi over there says kila means that it's in the same room. But in Shuvas Maram al Shakar and Simon Sadi Aleph, he says it means the same canopy. So it sounds like ishto nida could be under the same canopy as the husband, as long as they're in separate beds. That the canopy is not mitzarif. Now that's not the shaila that comes up nowadays. Nowadays the shaila that comes up is not the same canopy, the same headboard, right? That there's always a headboard, so it's one big headboard, and there are two beds. So it doesn't seem to be a problem to have the same headboard, but Rav Vazin points out in Shevet Alevi that they shouldn't be the beds shouldn't be attached to the headboard, because that might make it more of a mita achas. It certainly has more of a chance to make it like a safsal misnadadas. Right, because if they're both attached to the same headboard and one of them rolls over, the other one could feel the movements of the other party, so it makes it more of a possibility that it would be that problem if you assume safsal misnadadas goes beyond an actual safsal. Yeah.
That's probably true about bunk beds too, no?
Probably true about bunk beds also, right, depending on how sturdy it is. Yeah. Again, assuming that safsal misnadadas goes beyond an actual safsal, which again is not so pashut. Now, what about access to her bed? Are you allowed to use her bed in any way? So, the Ravid in Balei HaNefesh quotes from Rav Haigon that we're machmir to treat dam besulim like dam nida, but that we're not metame what she's lying on at the time of the bi'ila because it's only safek nida. So he said, what's he saying? The Ravid, Arishon, times of Rishon, is still knowing to mentara? Absolutely not, right? So the Ravid, Arishon, tells us, name Rav Haigon, Agon, again, still not knowing to mentar in times of the Go'onim either, right? And he says that there were machmir to treat dam besulim like dam nida. Good, we do that, but we don't treat it like so much like dam nida that it's going to be metame the bed. But then we don't go that far. What are you talking about? No one's metame anything nowadays. We're not knowing to mentar. So the Ravid interprets that what Rav Haigon must have meant is that it's asur to lie on her bed when she's a nida, even if she's not in bed. But we're makel to lie in her bed when all she's experienced is dam besulim. Ooh. So that's meaning, let's say, a couple on their wedding night, right? So let's assume that they were successful in having tashmish and there's dam besulim, right? And then she, and he, they forgot to order two beds, right? So let's say. So, they went to, they asked the hotel, honeymoon suite. We'd like the honeymoon suite. And the hotel, of course, a honeymoon suite, not going to have two beds in it. So the guy was stuck on a couch or on the floor the whole night, right? And then they wake up the next morning, and they don't have anywhere to go. They don't have anywhere to be. So the woman's getting dressed and davening, and the husband's like, can I just go take a nap in the bed? Because I haven't slept, you know? So he wants to know if he could take a nap in the bed, right? So says the Ravid, yes, all she had was dam besulim. So even if that's considered mitam yuchedes la, because the bed was her bed the previous night, it's not a problem, because for dam besulim, the mitam yuchedes la doesn't become a problem. But the eager point that Ravid is drawing from this Rav Haigon is that there is such an iser called mitam yuchedes la when there's dam nida, when she's an actual nida. The other way to understand Rav Haigon is based on the Tshuvas Harith in Simon Reish Design, who says that people would observe the halachos of Tomentara as a zecher to the way that they used to behave. So Rav Haigon was speaking within that minhag of those people who observe the dinim of Tomentara. Don't worry, dam besulim doesn't create that issue of Tomentara. But if you assume Rav Haigon the way that the Ravid learns Rav Haigon, so we have a new archaka. Then it's not only they're not allowed to be in the same bed, but once a woman has a bed that's hers, then the husband is not allowed to be in that bed when she is in nida. The Rashi in Taras Habayis quotes the Ravid and says that it is a kal v'chomer from Hatzalas Amita, that being in her bed is much worse. Meaning he says, I don't need a Rav Chaigo. Anyway, it's going to be Aser. If Hatzalas Amita is going to be Aser, so to be in her bed, to lie in her bed, of course it's going to be Aser. And the Ramban also says that he's not allowed to sleep in her bed. Meaning, what does that mean, now, kal v'chomer from Hatzalas Amita? Hatzalas Amita, she's not allowed to do for him either. Right? Meaning, Hatzalas Amita, she's not allowed, it's Isha Labaila. So it's the fact that he knows that she's being Matzia Mitaso, Befanov, he sees her being Matzia Mitaso, that's going to create enough of a Kirav Das and enough of a Hirur, that him actually being in her bed, of course, is going to create that Kirav Das and Hirur. So the Torah writes, Lo Yeshu B'mita Michedes La'afilu Shalom B'Fneha, Vein Tzorch Lomash Lo Yishan Imam Mita Afilu Kodach Levech B'Do Vein Ogum Sebeza. That he's not allowed to be yeshiv, he's not allowed to sit in her bed, even if she's not there. Now, the Bach says, wait a second, I just went through all the Rishonim. No one said anything about sitting in the bed. Everything was about lying down on the bed. Who said anything about sitting in the bed? Where do you get the idea of sitting? So he says, it must be a Tal Sofer, says the Bach. It must be lo yishkav and lo yishan. Don't lie and don't sleep, not lo yeshiv. And the Shach and Sivkan Yud quotes the Bach approvingly. He says, yeah, there's no issur for the husband to sit on his wife's bed. It's interesting, the Shach is a stira minei ubed. I mean, the Bach really is, but the Shach quotes the Bach. Right? Because what does it say over there? V'abach halik t'davka lishkov sham v'lishten kishaposhet begadav huda asur. What's he not allowed to do? He's not allowed to lie down and sleep in his wife's bed when his clothing is off. Meaning all those factors. So what's mutter? So I would have said, what's mutter? If you take away any of those factors, he's only sitting, or he's lying down, but he's clothed, right? But what does he go on to say? Aval yeshiva bi'alma kishehu lavush begadav ein bo isra afilu b'fanah. But sitting while he's wearing his clothing is going to be mutter even b'fanah. So what if he's not clothed and sitting, or what if he's clothed and lying down? So it's a stira within the lashon of the, you know, what to be medayik from the ratio from the seifa of this Shach and Bach. I'm not sure what to make of that. It doesn't really matter because we don't pass like it anyway, right? You know, we don't pass like this Bach and this Shach. Rather, we pass like the Taz in this case. The Taz in Sifkat and Vav disagrees with the Bach, and he says, no, you got to look at what it says. The Torah says lo yeshev. He says, you know, let us sit. Why? Because sitting in her bed is going to cause hear her. And he says it's even worse if she lies down on his bed when he's there. That will also cause hear her. So the Taz not only says that the Torah is not a total sofer, he makes up his own archaka. He makes up a new archaka. Then not only is he not allowed to sit on her bed, she's not allowed to lie down on his bed while he's in the room. I think common practice is to paskin like that Taz. That he shouldn't, her bed is off limits to him. Sitting, lying, anything off limits to him. Bein b'fanah, bein shalom b'fanah, and her and his bed. She's also somewhat restricted. She can't lie down on his bed while he's in the room. So what are the heterim? So we're machmir for her not to lie in his bed, but she definitely can sit on his bed. Pischi tshuva and sifkat tes quotes another heter. That if she's in a different city, we said her bed's off limits to him, but there's a limit to that. If she's in a different city, then it's mutter. So how do you define city? Let's say he's in Woodmere and she's in Cedarhurst. Right? She's doing the shopping or whatever in Cedarhurst. So is that a different city? So how do you define different cities? So it's not clear whether, and it's also not clear whether the heter of the Pischi Tshuva is, okay, if she's in a different city, then you can sit on her bed. Or do we say, no, if she's in a different city, then all bets are off, then this whole harchaka doesn't exist. So before it's quotes a machlokas about that issue. The heter, the Pischi Tshuva has about a different city, is that just a heter for like that chiddush of the tour of Lo Yeshe? Or is it a heter for everything, for the whole thing of not being in her bed? He's machmir. He holds that that it's only a heter for sitting on the bed, it's not a heter for everything else. And as far as the other issue of what's called a different city, so Rav Vazin writes, means far, far away. It means that the person, she's nowhere nearby. The Chachmas Adam Paskins, that he could be Yoshev Shelo B'Faneh, against most other Poskin. Maybe if you put the Chachmas Adam and the Shach together, the Shach holds he could be Yoshev even B'Faneh. Chachma Sadim says somewhere in between. It could be Yoshiv Shaloba for now. I don't know. Again, that's not our minhag. I think our common practice is that her bed is off limits then.
Doesn't this change? Maybe a lot of, like the fact that it doesn't reciprocate that she's allowed on his bed, if he does, we generally assume that if anyone's initiating anything, it would be him. Does that change from my
sense
today, the nature of the relationship is such that the woman would be comfortable initiating something with him?
I don't think so. There are certain things that are just built into the man-woman relationship. I don't think so. Now, how do you define yuchedesla? How miyuchedesla does it have to be? So I gave an example before. The wedding night, they sleep, you know, and she slept in the bed on the wedding night, and he didn't. Is that enough to make it miyuchedesla at that point? So Rabbi Forst thinks so. He thinks that once you check into a hotel, let's say, there are two beds in the room, and she says, okay, I'm going to take that one, he takes the other one, so that's it, that's miyuchedesla. One night is enough to make it miyuchedesla. Shaila is what happens if a couple shares a queen bed. I got the Shaila once. A couple shares a queen bed when she's Tahora. Whenever she's Tahora, they sleep in the same bed. And then he sleeps in a separate twin bed when she's Tameya. So their bedroom has two beds, one that's very large and one that's normal size. That's, you know, single person size. And when she's Tahora, they both sleep in the large bed. When she's Tameya, he jumps over to. So, what's the status of that queen bed? Is that mita miyuchedesla? So, if the concern is for here, her being in her bed, it would seem that it's an even worse problem, right? Because that bed is associated in his mind with, you know, when she's tahora. If it has to be only hers, meaning if the whole idea is, no, it's got to be miyuchedesla, well, this is not a bed that's miyuchedesla, it would be a problem. L'chara, it's a big problem. L'chara, you shouldn't do that. Someone once asked me, a chassan once asked me, what if we don't have, not a chassan, the guy was married for like 10 years already. He said, you know, we were doing like a Hilchos Nida review thing in shul years ago, and the guy said, someone listened online, wasn't someone from my neighborhood, and said, what do we do if, do we have any isurim if we don't have my bed or her bed? There are just two beds in the room, and whichever we feel like sleeping on that night, that's the one we sleep on that night. It's not like his bed, her bed. It's whichever one. If you see someone in your bed, you go to the other one. So, I thought that was the craziest thing ever. So I was, I said to him, I'm sorry, I can't wrap my mind around the lack of Seder you have in your life. You know, you need a little more Seder in your life. But Pashas is his mutter, right? Meaning Zen is not mitam yuchedesla. So okay, so Pashas is his mutter. It's weird, but it's mutter. Then the shayla becomes, okay, what if? Oh, another thing. What if he falls asleep on her bed? And she became a nida. So I told you the shayla. I got this. This guy sent me an email that the woman didn't know what to do. She called the Beis Havad. She said, "What do I do?" She called whatever, one of those halacha hotlines. They said, "Stand at a distance and shout until he wakes up." So that's what she did. She shouted until he woke up. Not so pashut, you have to do that, right? Meaning, the isser of him sleeping in her bed is not a chashash that she's going to have yehurim from it. It's a chashash that he's going to have yehurim from it, right? So once he's already sleeping, he has no consciousness of anything. So what, when he wakes up, he'll have yehurim from it? That's going to happen at some point, right? Whether you wake him up right now, meaning the fact that he continues to sleep in her bed, l'chora, is not a problem. Right, you know that piece from Rosh Hashanah Zalman in Hilchos Tefillah, in Halicha Shlomo? You know what I'm talking about? Rosh Hashanah Zalman has this big piece about how sleeping people are totally pater from mitzvos and isurim, that there's no inyan of mitzvos and isurim. He points out he has a lot of rayas. He has a lot of rayas against himself, but he still thinks that there's a lot of reasons to be makil. He has a raya from an Avos Rabbi Nassim that the reason the Mishnah is so critical of taking morning time naps is because they cause a person to miss Kriya Shema. So he says that the Mishnah stops short of asering morning time naps. It should say that it's aser. So why doesn't it say that it's aser? Elamai, it's not aser to miss my Kriya Shema if you're sleeping, because when you're sleeping you have no chayivim in any mitzvahs. So if a teenager wants to sleep late and the father wakes him up and says, "You got to go to Shacharis," teenagers should say, "Well, now I do, you know, now that you woke me up." But if you would have just let me sleep, then I would have been fine. I wouldn't have had to go to Shacharis. Rabbi Yaakov Emden goes so far as to say that a person who sleeps with a woman while he is sleeping, meaning who has tashmish with a woman while he's sleeping, and they have a child, that he hasn't fulfilled pruvu. Because you can't fulfill mitzvahs while you're sleeping. So that's a, you know, one of those halachic, believe it or not. there's a Chivas Pri Yitzchak who says that a person who's sleeping while he's wearing tefillin is not in violation of being Masiach Das in his tefillin, because he's not obligated in the mitzvah at all. You're not allowed to go to sleep in your tefillin, you're not allowed to fall asleep in your tefillin, but once you're sleeping, so then you have no Yisur. That's also, all of this is a huge Chiddush. But Shlomo Zalman Paskins, that if a person is sleeping and he's wearing a Beggar of Dal Kanfus without any tzitzis, there's no reason to wake him up and tell him to take off the Beggar of Dal Kanfus, because he's totally butter for mitzvahs. Or if a person is sleeping in the sukkah, he said, let's say there's a sukkah that only has room for one bed in the sukkah. So, you know, you don't know who should get the bed. So you should tell the guy, you go ahead. Go on the rolling cot, go into the sukkah. And as soon as he falls asleep, roll him right out, and then you go in here, because once he's sleeping, he's totally patur from mitzvahs. L'chora, this comes up in the following situation. Let's say a person is sleeping in a house, and a woman comes into the house, right? So is that a violation of yichud? Meaning, if let's... You get these calls all the time. A guy comes home for the weekend or whatever. My parents are away. They're coming back on Friday. I'm home already Thursday night. It's just me and the housekeeper. They're going to be in the house. But the housekeeper's not here yet, let's say. He said, the housekeeper's coming in now. Quick, go to sleep. If you tell him to go to sleep. So then by the time she gets there, he's not going to have an Isra Yichud anymore, because he's going to be sleeping. He's going to be pater. Pater from mitzvahs. But over here, L'chor, it really makes no sense to wake him up, right? Like, I'm not sure why they would have, you know, what's the point? He's not having, unless you're choshish, that his dreams are going to be here, hurim or whatever, because he's in her bed. I don't know. The iser of her bed also seems to include pillows and covers. So that's a problem. Chachma Sadim points out, it's quoted in the Pesach Chuvah here, Sivka L'chatz, that it includes pillows and covers also. It's a problem in the following sense. How do you make a bed? When you make the bed in the room, so what do? You take the, you know, all the pillows, at least this is what I do, take all the pillows, throw them all on the floor. So all the pillows are all in one big pile, of, we have a lot of pillows, so all the pillows are in one big pile on the floor. And then you take each blanket and you straighten it out, and then you put the pillows back. Are you makbid always to put the pillows back exactly on the bed that they were on before? So if you are, good. But if you're not, then l'chor, it's a problem. You know, because you're not allowed to use her pillow, she's not allowed to use your pillow. So Badei Shulchan says, no, if they're interchangeable, you know, then we're makel. Then it's not considered to be miyuchad esla to begin with. Last thing, hatzah samita. What about making the bed? So the Gemara says, hatzah samita is one of the things that's asur. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Yod Aleph, Shulchan Aruch writes, "Asur latzia mitaso bifanav," right? Only when he's there, but when he's not there, then it's going to be perfectly fine. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'dafka prisa sadinim v'mechasas shu derechiba, aval atzas hakarim v'aksasal shu tareach ve'eno derechiba shari." What's that chiluk? What is allowed and what's not allowed? Meaning, saying Hatzah Samita does not include something. So again, what is it? It's only Prisa Sadinim and the Mechasa, which is Derechiba. But Hatzah Hakarim Vaksasos is totally mutter, because that's just a Toreach. Hatzah Hakarim Vaksasos means straightening out the blankets and the pillows. What do we call that? Making the bed. Right? So what's us?
The sheet. The actual sheet.
The actual sheet. I would think that's more of a Toreach. Right? When you're putting the sheets on, I don't think that's more of a Toreach. So Rabbi Forst is Magdir that whatever is done to prepare the bed for sleeping in is Aser, but that which is not done every day is considered a Tircha. Meaning he's Magdir like the opposite. Meaning that to change the sheets or whatever, you only do that once every whatever, you know, let's say a week or 2 weeks, or if you're a Ben Yeshiva, you know, by Shana Bet, hopefully, right? So, you know, so you only do that every once in a long while. So that's not something that's called preparing the bed to be slept in. But something that you do every day, it's done in between each time you sleep in the bed, so then it's preparing the bed for the next person to sleep in it. Very mistaber that way. It just doesn't seem to fit the words so well. Rabbi Sabalevsky in his Sefer defines it as making the bed more comfortable. But, and he writes, moving mattresses is okay. Who's moving mattresses? What does that even mean? And isn't there something between making the bed more comfortable and moving mattresses? Making the bed more comfortable would be fluffing the pillows, right, or something like that. What about making the bed? What we call making the bed, just straightening out the blankets and putting the pillows, you know, on top of each other at the top of the bed, where they belong. Right? You're not, so is that called making the bed more comfortable or not? So I was always under the impression that to tidy up a room, to make it look nicer, to make it look neat, that's avdus, that's tircha. But to do something more inviting in terms of the bed, would be us. Meaning, let's say it used to be that, and it could be in Tanya Shulchan Aruch had this. It used to be that it was fairly common that people would have bedspreads. Even hotels used to have bedspreads. That they wouldn't just have a blanket on the bed. On top of the blanket, they would have something that fits the decor of the room. The blanket's white, and then on top of the blanket, they'd have a bedspread. So to take off the bedspread in order to then, while the blanket is still nice and neat, but take off the bedspread so that the bed is more inviting to be able to go into, that would be Hatsa'a Samita, because that's preparing the bed. That's what they used to do. You'd go to a hotel, they would have, the housekeeping would come around the second time at the hotel at night, so you could take off the bedspread, fold it up, and put it at the foot of the bed, so that you can go into the bed. Sometimes they would even, like, fold over the blanket so that's like a triangle, so you can just like go in like an envelope, you know, into the, so they would do like that. So that's what they would call turn down service. So I was actually in a hotel in Israel for a bar mitzvah, I don't know when it was, less than a year ago, and housekeeping didn't come in the morning, so my wife asked, you know, like, when's housekeeping going to come? And they said, oh, we're sorry, we apologize about that, but don't worry, they're coming back anyway for turn down service. So they still do it, apparently, in some places. In the, what was the hotel? It used to be the Hilton. The David, which hotel was the Convar Mitzvah? Do you know? Citadel. The David Citadel, yes. So that was it. So apparently they still do it in some places. I don't know, that's what I always thought is mutter. I think still, nevertheless, the minhag is, whether it's halachically required or not, the minhag is that you only make the bed in front, you only make the bed shalom b'faneha, and she only makes the bed shalom b'faneh. I think that's the minhag. Just because we're not really sure exactly what Hatzah Samita is, and Hatzah Samita anyway is going to be mutter when it's not b'faneh. And the last thing is, sometimes when you're making the bed, it will involve lying across the bed to be able to like put the sheet back on or whatever. I'm not sure that that's called Yosheva Alamita or Shochev Alamita. You know, let's say like you need to change a light bulb, so you need to stand on your wife's bed to change a light bulb. I don't think that's a violation of Yosheva Alamita or Shochev Alamita. I think it means that you're utilizing the bed in a more normal way. Okay, so that's it for our Chagos. Bez Hashem, tomorrow maybe we'll do a Parsha Shir at some point. Yeah? 11:45, 12.
How long is
Q&A? I asked, they said it's about 45 minutes. So I could do 11:45, I could do 12. Oh, do they? Maybe you can enlighten me so that I can...
Sure.
I mean, first I got to get through Tal Ben Shachar tonight. I don't know, that guy's smart. And apparently we're supposed to be on different sides of... I don't know.
Make sure you smile already.
Yeah, that's how I'm gonna. Okay. My winning personality. I can't do it with my brains. So my winning personality. I'll just try to look cute. Okay.